Good to see you all back in church tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon, got a good meal, maybe a nap. But it's good to be back in church tonight to hear God's word, to see what he has for us. I hope you were as blessed in the morning services as I was. I know, Pastor, I do believe the Lord moved in the services, and I know he definitely spoke to my heart. So I'm looking forward to see what God has for us tonight. Before we get started, I'm going to ask if Brother Ralph will lift up his voice and ask for the Lord's blessing on tonight's service.
Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you would take charge of the service. We are your humble servants, and whatever our efforts may be, they're feeble and are worth nothing unless your Spirit moves.
Yes.
And so we ask that we would step out of the way and allow you to work. Pray for Donna and her parents as they are probably still traveling in this morning. Pray that you would give safety and travel to them. And we look forward to seeing them in the days that lie ahead. We do pray that you would give safety to those who are away from us traveling. Give them a good time of reflection today. Help them to receive a blessing from you in the time that they're away. Pray that you would guide and direct in the service tonight, and you with our pastor. Use him to speak your words so that we will understand and hear from you, and then help us to apply those things. Help us to keep making the effort even when the devil or the flesh may get the victory at one point. Help us to get back up on our feet, make it right, and move forward. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, tonight, I am thankful to be washed in the blood.
Amen.
Covered, my sins covered in it. We are going to sing some song about the blood of
Jesus
Christ tonight.
Amen.
They get me stirred up. I hope they do the same for you tonight. But we're going to sing about Jesus Christ's blood tonight and its saving power. If you would, I'd ask you to please stand with me. Turn to page 160. Are you washed in the blood? Page 160.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the soul cleansing blood of
164, nothing but the blood.
In the mention this morning, but I guess at some point there was this book was passed around this church from a library. The book is The Trial and Burning of John Huss, back in the 1500s. A man who stood for the Word of God and eventually died for his faith because of the Word of God and was burned at the stake. Brother Chris Mitchell, we were able to find this book, and somebody sent one to him and let me borrow it, but then he found a couple on eBay. So if anybody would like to borrow it from the church library and read it, I've already started reading about halfway through. It's very good. It's an eyewitness account of what took place and occurred in his trial. But a very good book, and those that went before us in the faith and shed their blood as well, in a sense of dying for what they believed in, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His Word, and went before us and were martyrs for the faith. Very good book, and if you'd like to read it, I'll leave it up here. You can take it home, read it. When you're done, just bring it back, and if somebody else would like to have it, then they can read it as well. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. I've been going through here what the Bible says in this one verse about how we're both spirit, soul, and body, and kind of breaking these things down. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the eyesight or our sight, and how our eyes are obviously a part of our body, but how they can affect our soul and our spirit, along with affecting us physically. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, dear Lord, for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you'd give us wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, I pray you'd open our ears and our eyes and our heart to receive what's written in your word. Lord God, that we'll be able to receive it. And Lord, not just receive it, but also apply it to our lives. Dear God, help us to take heed what's written here tonight. Lord, for your glory and for your honor and your praise. And so we thank you for all these things, and we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, like I said earlier, we're looking at this first part here. I know it goes the whole spirit and soul and body in that verse, but we're kind of going backwards and starting and looking at the body and how the Lord says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that it be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you're saved tonight, if you're born again, someday you're going to have to give an account of what's done in the body. The body said you're going to have to get, the Bible says we'll have to give an account for what is done in our body since we've been saved. And like I said, 2 weeks ago we looked at our eyes, and so tonight I would like to look at our ears and what we hear and how it can affect us in not only our physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. So take your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, very beginning of the Bible there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. And we're going to look here at verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "And when we departed from Oreb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Okay, so this is the children of Israel. God's brought them out of the land of Egypt by the hand of Moses. Moses went in and has brought deliverance to the children of Israel. He's led them out from Egypt by God, leading and directing them. They've been given the tabernacle. They've been given the Ten Commandments. They've been given the laws of God. They're traveling now up, getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And God says through Moses, says, "Look, you're up here on the mountain of the Amorites. Look out, see all the land that's there. All the land that's there." The Lord says, "This is your land. Fear not, because you're to go in there and you're to possess that land." Look what the Bible says in verse number 21, the latter part of verse 21. Fear not, neither be discouraged. God knew when he gives the warning, when they look out there with their eyesight, they can't see yet what they're getting ready to face. They can't see it. But God knows what they're getting ready to face. And God knows that they need encouragement right now to say, hey, when you get ready to go in there and get that land that I'm giving you, God says, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. I don't know how much more clear it can be when God says, this is yours, I'm giving it to you. But God says, as I tell you to go in there and possess it, God says, before you go in there, I want you to realize, don't get afraid and don't get discouraged. Because it's probably going to happen. But God says you're going to have to go on despite those fears and discouragement if you want the land that I've given to you. We said it this morning in the Sunday school hour. There's land that God has for Christians and has for believers, but most don't get there because of fear and discouragement and not being willing to go in and face the battles. To face the battles. You see, the Bible says here that we're neither to be fearful nor afraid. And God gives encouraging words to help support them with the battles that they're getting ready to face. Now look at verse 22. So they get this encouragement from the Lord. And then you get verse number 22. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. So the people say, well, we're hearing what you're saying, Moses, and what God's told you to tell us, Moses. And they came unto Moses and said, listen, Moses, this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to send some men in there beforehand. And the job of these men is basically like spies. We want to send some spies in there to go through the land and see it and see where we should go first and what city we should attack first and how we should go about to take over this land that God's given us. And Moses is like, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And so then Moses said, well, I chose 12 men out of the 12 tribes to go do what you said to do. And they went in and they spied out the land, the Bible says. And they came back and they said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Take your Bible and look over at Numbers, the book of Numbers, right before Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And look at verse 26. Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 26. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now this is a story of what I was just talking about there in Deuteronomy. How these 12 men have come back and they're giving a report of what they found. They said in verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You see, we need to be very careful here this evening of those who will give a good report or talk about something good about the Lord, yet in the very next sentence will bring about doubt and discouragement upon what the Lord has stated and promised. You said, I said earlier in this, when I started, about our ears. What we hear. Now, brethren, we can't help everything that we hear. You go out into society today, like today, I went home and they had a huge old festival going on near my house, and the music was so loud you could probably hear it from 10 miles away. I can't help that I'm hearing that. It's not like I can go in and say, hey, everybody be quiet over here. No, I can hear it. I can't help that I hear songs when I go into stores. There's sometimes you just can't help what you hear. But it's what you do after you hear it. Okay? Do you dwell on it? Now, there's also the other side that there's times where we choose to listen to what we want to listen to. And it's those times where what we're listening to, is it edifying and helping us? Or is it feeding our flesh and maybe possibly bringing us to destruction? Now look, I will say this. I would say one of the hardest things that I had to deal with, and I think it'd be a battle to the day, is music. Music is very, very, very powerful. Actually, I would have to say that music is basically, I would say almost very right up there at the top. If you're going to influence people, play some music. Play some music. You know, they do it at the stores during Christmas time. You put on some Christmas carols and everybody wants to go buy something. Right? You influence people by music. And music influences us. I used to say this all the time. There's been times, no doubt, probably in your life and my life, especially when I was lost, that if a song came on that I liked and I was on the interstate, I'd automatically start going faster without even realizing it because the music got me amped up and my foot pushed the pedal down, and before I know it, I'm doing 80 and a 65 because of the music. Music is very powerful and it affects us. Thus, we have to be careful what we listen to because it affects us, what we hear. And sometimes I think it affects us and we don't even realize it, that it's affecting us. I'm telling you today, I believe it's being pumped in our society, especially among young people, the music to basically destroy them. Basically destroy them. I used to ask the kids that I worked with, I said, how many times right before you were getting in trouble, especially if they were committing a crime like robbery, burglary, something along those lines, were they listening to music right before they did it? And almost all of them said, yeah. Oh yeah, we were listening to music. Actually, we listened to music and the music was pretty loud. Get you amped up. Look, before sporting events, there's not a sporting event you're going to go to that doesn't got music being played. Not one. NFL, NBA, whatever it may be, high school football, college football, whatever the event is, for the most part, most of the time, most events got music playing. I used to tell people before, I believe this, I believe music can make you run faster. I believe music can make you jump higher. I believe music can affect your adrenaline in your body. Music's very powerful. And so the devil knows that, so the devil uses it because he wants to put into our ears what he wants us to do. And it affects us. Words affect people. So the Bible says here that these people, these spies, give a very good report. But then verses 26 through 28, go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Look what they say. Look what they say into the ears of the people. Deuteronomy chapter 21, Deuteronomy 1 verse 26. Deuteronomy 1 verse 26. And look, before we read the first part of verse 26, look at the latter part of verse number 25. Look what they say. These are words that they're speaking going into the ears of the people. It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. That's basic English. It's not hard to understand. They come back with a good report and they say, it's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Does he? Is God going to give it to you? Because look what they say next in verse number 26. Notwithstanding. I thought you just said God said it's a good land. I thought you just said that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I thought you said it's a land that has all this wonderful fruit and a land where we can build our houses and raise our families and the land that God's given us. I thought you said it was a good land that God's given us. Yeah, it is good, but hang on a second. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, Moses says to them, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Look what this says next here. Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. I thought you just said that it's a good land that the Lord giveth us. Yeah, you did say that. But then they also came out and said something that discouraged the heart of a whole nation. It discouraged the heart of a whole nation. You see, words are very powerful. Words can sway and move people. I think words are more powerful than even images, though I think images can affect us as well. But words are very, very powerful. And they speak 12 men, 10 of them give an evil report, and it affects, brethren, it affects the lives of a whole nation. A whole nation is affected because of 10 men. 10 men who give an evil report are able, they destroy I don't know how many lives because they brought discouragement to the heart of those following God as he led Moses. You see, not only has this report produced rebellion, look what the Bible says here in verse number 26. Moses says, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. You would not do what God said to do. You would not listen to what God said to do. And you rebelled against him. Not only did it bring rebellion in, but it also brought an attitude that the Lord hates us. Think about that for a moment. They're bringing an accusation against God that God now hates them because it didn't go the way they thought it should go. And how many Christians get an attitude towards God sometimes because they don't think it goes the way they think it should go? Because maybe the battle's too hard. God, why would you allow this, God? Basically, in essence, God, I'm mad at you because you allowed this in my life. And God says, listen, I told you I'm giving you the land. And God says, I told you not to be afraid nor discouraged. But now you're saying that I hate you. Do you see what kind of accusation they're pointing at God and blaming on God? God hates us. God never said he hated them. Actually, God loves them. And if they would just trust God, all that they could possess if they'd just trust God. All the peace that they could get if they just trust God. All the victories they could get if they would just trust God. But rather than trusting God, they have a rebellious heart and say, God, you hate us. Why? Because you won't fight the battles and do it for us, God. God says, no, I expect you to do something as well. And us as Christians, God expects us to do our part. God expects us to do our part. We can't just sit on a couch and say, God, make my life perfect. No, God says, you got to get up and you got to do something. You got to put in the effort. And God says, when you put in the effort, I'll come right in there and I'll help you fight that battle. If you're not willing to get up and put the armor on and start walking to the battlefield, God's not going to do anything for you. And it's one thing to just not get in a battle. It's another thing to bring discouragement to those who maybe want to go in and fight that battle. And that's exactly what's happening here. It'd have been fine if they come in and said, hey, yeah, you can go in. I just can't go in. I'm too afraid to go in. But I know God gave it to us. Don't listen to me. I'm going to go this way. You can go ahead and fight the battles for God. No, they affect the whole nation. So not only do they bring an attitude that the Lord hates them, that they also say that the Lord leads to dead ends. They also put forth the proclamation that God will just lead you to a dead end and then just leave you. No, God doesn't just lead us to a dead end and then just drop us off dry. God has purposes in our lives and why he does what he does. And we can trust him that he knows best in our lives. Take your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Look what the Bible says here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says here, "Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord He is God, and there is none else besides Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought them out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt." Right here, they find out that God loved their fathers. Take your Bible and look over at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11. It's referring to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah is talking here to the nation of Israel after 70 years be accomplished of their captivity in Babylon. But you know, for those that don't know the story, the nation of Israel rebelled against God. And God led them captive for 70 years in the nation of Babylon. You say, "Well, preacher, you say, why would God let His chosen people, the nation of Israel, why would God let His chosen people be taken captive and in some instances abused, killed, and done wrong, drug into a foreign land in the Babylon for 70 years? Why would God do that? Because God loves them. That's why God would do it. You know why God brings in correction and chastisement? Because He loves us. A God, listen, there's no other God of any other of all these other nations and religions that will chastise people and deal with them because He loves them. Any good parent chastises or deals with their child because they love them. And God chastised and dealt with the nation of Israel because He loved them. Why? Because He wanted them to see the error of their way. You know, sometimes it does good, I think in some instances, for some people to go to jail. I think it does good sometimes. If people are rebels, they get themselves in trouble. Instead of daddy or mama coming in and bailing them out, I think they ought to sit in jail for a while. I think they ought to hit rock bottom. And then afterwards come in and say, "Hey, I'm here to help you." But that's love. That is love. And God loves His people so much that He's willing to let them be taken captive for 70 years. Because look what He says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil." To what? To give you an expected end. God knows you. God sees you. If you're saved, God loves you. God cares for you. If you're saved, God's got a purpose for your life. And it has an expected end. God's got a purpose for your life. God's just not going to bring you a spot and just leave you and say, "Hey, I'm playing a joke on you. I thought it'd be funny if I just brought you to this point in your life and I'll just go over here for a while you just struggle and just deal with this. And maybe I'll come back to you. Maybe I'll come back and help you and bring you along, but I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll get back with you later, but deal with this right now." That's not my God. My God deals with us with an expected end. Take your Bible and look over at Psalm 138, verse 8. Psalm chapter 138, and look at verse number 8. The nation of Israel, those 10 spies brought back an evil report and said that God had led them out in the wilderness to die. No, God didn't lead them out into the wilderness to die. God wants them to go into the promised land. Psalm 138 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says here. "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." The Bible says here, David says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Now the question is this in Psalm 138, verse 8. This is the question. Do you want God to work in your life? That's the question. If you don't want God to work in your life and it's just like, well, I'm just going to skate this thing on through and whatever happens, happens, and I'm not really interested in God doing anything in my life, then this message means nothing. But if you want God to work in your life and you want God to help you in your life and you want God to bring you where you desire to be with Him in your walk with Him, God says, I will perfect that which concerneth you. God says, I will work in your life, I will be there with you, and I will help you through to get you where I want you to be. But you've got to put these things into practice, God says. But don't worry, I have an expected end for you. And we also find this same type of principle in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. You can flip over there just for a moment. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. I like this verse. I like this verse a lot. You can stand upon this verse and rest upon this verse that God will not leave you nor forsake you. Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If God started a work in your life, if you'll allow him, he'll bring it to a finish. Some point. Till the day you take your last breath, God has a purpose for your life. God wants to work in your life. God wants to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, if we'll allow him again to work in our life. You know what the devil does? The devil wants you to think that God hates you. The devil wants you to get a point in your life where he's going to whisper in your ear, he's forsaken you. And usually for me, those types of words occur at night when I get ready to go to sleep. For me now as a pastor, one of the hardest times of the week to sleep is Saturday night. And it's like I like 2 hours last night, 3 hours last night, because all night, you're worth this. Just all these thoughts come ahead. You're just dead. Just wrestling out, trying to get it out of my head. Say, Lord, just keep going on. Just keep going on. Da, da, da. As soon as you think it's okay, you're about ready to fall asleep. What about this? What about that there? And then when we get around other people, everything's fine. We act like everything's okay. It's not. Because the devil tries to whisper in your ear, God hates you. God's forsaken you. You're worthless. You would do better if you really loved him. You wouldn't do all those things you did if you really loved him. He's forsaken you. He won't forgive that sin. Just stay there. Why don't you just go do this? God hates you anyways. Why won't you just go look at that thing you wanted to look at before? Why don't you go listen to that, what you want to listen for? Because God doesn't care no more. And if you give in to it, he has even more grounds on you to continue to tries to plant things in your mind, tries to put words there to discourage you, to depress you, and to just drive you down to despair. And you have to get in there and you have to do what the Bible says and you have to take every thought captive. It's almost like throw the handcuffs on that thing and bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I can't help what comes in, but God, I'm trying to help what I dwell on. And Lord, you're going to have to take this for me and help me fight the battle. What the children of Israel should have did when those 10 men came back from their report, thank you for the good report, now get out of our way if you're going to say anything bad about this, because we're going forward, because God said he's given us the land and we're going to go forward and we're going to fight. I don't care how big the giants are. I said this morning, brethren, we talked about it in Sunday school. You're talking about when they said the children of the Anakims, they're talking about giants that were in the land about as tall as that window right there. I believe it. Goliath was a big boy. He wasn't no, I mean, he was tall. That one guy that the Bible, I forget it was Og or one of them, his bed was as tall, as I said earlier, up to where that ceiling meets the wall. That's how big his bed was, from like right about here over to right about here. That's how big that man's bed was, according to the Bible. Now, can you imagine? Of course, people, they go into a land that they're spying out and they see people that big, our flesh immediately would say, there's no way we can win. There's no way we can defeat these people that are this big. Much less these people that are this big. Their cities are fenced in, they're walled up to heaven. There's no way we can get victory here. It's impossible. And guess what the devil does? Yeah, you're right. It is impossible. You'll never get victory. You'll never get to where God wants you to be. So what we have today is a land full of just defeated, inert Christians. Because they're scared of the giants. They're scared of the walled cities. And they're scared of what might happen. And God says, go forward and fight the battles for me. Fight the battles. And I'm here to tell you this evening, brethren, the battles that are destroying the majorities of Christians today is right here in their minds. They can't get victory over the thoughts in their minds. And it leads them in a perpetual state of sin sometimes. Always giving into the flesh. Always giving into the flesh. Say, I'm sorry, get it right with God, and then back into that same vicious cycle and never able to break out of it because they can't control their thoughts, they can't control their passions, and they can't control their emotions. They hear something, it gets put a thought in their mind, and they run with it. We got to grab a hold of those thoughts and bring them into obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only do they bring an attitude towards God that he hates them, and that God will lead to an end that brings destruction, they also bring an attitude of discouragement in the heart, viewing the enemy with an eye of defeat, impossible to overcome how great and walled up the cities are, and lastly, that giants dwell in the land. But look at verse 29 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. Look what the Bible says here. Deuteronomy 1, verse number 29. Moses and the Lord gives them one last opportunity. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. He says, then I said unto you, dread not. Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in the land in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son and all the way that ye went until you came into this place. Moses tries to tell him and Moses tries to get them to remember, hey, are you willing to realize and acknowledge that God will go before us. The Lord will fight for us. And for the times where we can't fight and we've given all we've got, Moses reminds them that God will bear them in his arms like a son and that God will give direction and guidance. Moses hears their words and says, listen, don't listen to what these 10 men are saying. Listen to what God says. And look back at what God's already done in your life. You know, since I've been saved, there's been a lot of things that God's done in my life. There's been a lot of things that God's done in my life. There's been a lot of dark times that God's brought me out of, and God's been faithful to me, and God hasn't given up on me yet. God hasn't given up on me. Have there been plenty of times in my Christian walk that I've been saved these last 20-some years? Absolutely. But when you get it right and underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, you get up, you go on, and you don't quit, before you know it, God's going to make you stronger and stronger and stronger in his might and in his power. You just can't quit, but you also got to be willing to fight. You also got to be willing to get into the battle. And what Moses is saying to the people, he says, don't you remember what God did in Egypt? I'm going to say this evening. It does no good. You say, well, if God would just show me something like a miracle, then I could go on and fight for him. If God... There's Christian. If God would just show me something. If God would just send me an angel, if God would just perform this miracle, then I would serve him with all I got. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You won't. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because these are the same people that walked up to the Red Sea. Moses put out that staff and whoosh, and they walked across on dry ground with the water on each side, and they get over to the other side and they see the Egyptian army following after them, and all of a sudden that water comes in on that army, kills them all. They see, brethren, right now before they go into the land, they can look over at the tabernacle and see that cloudy pillar by day and that cloudy fire of a pillar at night. These are the same people when the tabernacle was erected and they put those sacrifices on that altar and that fire was there with Aaron and his sons. And all of a sudden when they were anointing that tabernacle, fire came out from that tent and consumed that fire, consumed that sacrifice, and it was God. These people have seen some stuff. These people have seen Pharaoh plagued with frogs everywhere. These people have seen water turn into blood. These people have seen flies come in and plague Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. These people have seen miracles by God. Yet when they get to the point to where God says, I want you now to go fight. God says, I want you now to start walking on your 2 feet. God says, I want you to go in and possess what I want to give you. These people say, it can't be done. God hates us. God's brought here to destroy us. God's worthless. He's just let us out here just to die. This is all worthless. I don't even know why we're here. And they want to kill Moses. You'd think they'd go on in and say, hey, God can do this. Look at all God did for us in the past right back there. Surely God can take care of a giant. But no. They let words affect their heart and their mind. And they never were able to possess, at least that generation, what God had promised them. Take your Bible, look back over at Numbers 13. We'll close here tonight. Numbers chapter 13. And look at verse number 30 and 31. Numbers chapter 13. Again, verses 30 and 31. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 31. Look at the Bible says here. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Moses tries to intercede and say, hey, listen, God's gone before us. God will fight for us. God will bear us up in his arms. God will give direction and guidance. Caleb also speaks up here. Caleb, the one other than Joshua who brings back a good report and says, let's go do this. Caleb tries to still the people. He's trying to say, hey, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. Be quiet for a second. Just hang on. Relax. Caleb's trying to still the people. Stop, hold on for a second, Caleb says, he stilled the people before Moses said, listen, people, he says, let us go up at once. We can do this right now. Let's go and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Caleb trusted in his God. Caleb walk by faith and not by sight. And we looked at it this morning in Sunday School Hour. For a Christian to have and live a victorious life in Jesus Christ, that Christian must walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go off of what you see, and you can't go off of what's going to come in your ears. You got to go by faith. By God, that God will be with you, God will watch over you, God will protect you, and God can provide the victory. You cannot listen to the voices that want to come into your ear saying, it's impossible, You can never get there. You'll never be amount. You'll never amount to anything. You're the worst Christian that ever lived. You do things other Christians don't do. You'll never be where you. Stop listening to the voices and start listening to what God said in His Word, and go forward. Go forward in the power of His might, and He'll give the victory. But you got to be willing to go forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank You as we continue to look through this study here, dear God. Lord, maybe next week, Lord willing, if it be Your will, we'd finish up the latter part of the things that we listen to. God, help us to be careful to listen to voices that only bring about a discouragement. Lord, help us to be careful with the voices that we might listen to that will just play down our trust in You and Your Word. God, help us to walk and live a victorious life through Your power and Your might. Lord, help us to want to strive after the promises You've given to us. Help us to be overcomers, Lord. Lord, help us to live a life that brings You honor and glory. Help us daily, Lord, to put on the helmet of salvation. Lord, help us daily to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of spirit, our loins being girt about with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, help us daily to put on that full armor and to go forward in Your power and in Your might, to stand against principalities, against powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, Lord. Help us to be soldiers for You. And Lord, we'll give You the glory and honor and praise for it. And we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you take your hymn book, I'd like to close with a hymn tonight. Page number 170. Kind of going along the lines of what we sang this evening. Page number 170. By the blood. Page number 170 in the blue hymn book.
God, we have no remission of sin.
Yes.
Lord, we're thankful we have a God that loves us so much.
Yeah.
That would send His Son to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful that I have a God that doesn't give up on us if we mess up.
Right.
It allows us to come to Him, confess that sin, get it under the blood, and go forward for the cause of Christ. Lord, I thank You for the message preached tonight. Lord, I pray that You help each and every one of us in this room to think about this message, Lord, and allow God to help us conquer the giants in our lives. Help us to not be scared, to not be afraid, or to not allow words or anything else to sway us from what the will of God would be. Lord, help us to walk with You this week. Help us to spend time in prayer, spend time in Your Word. Lord, help us to take time to be holy, just like we sang this morning. Lord, thank You for loving us. Lord, thank You so much for what You've done here tonight in this service. Give us safety as we travel home, Lord. We'll thank You and pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
And before we leave out, Brother Chris has been so kind. There's some cheesecake and some coffee downstairs. For those that would like to just hang around for a few moments, please join us downstairs if you've got an opportunity and some time downstairs for some cheesecake and coffee. Thank you, Brother Chris, for that. And, amen. We'll see you Wednesday.